The book we're talking about today is a book authored by Tom Fortson and yours truly. It's titled Seven Questions of a Promise Keeper. I'll never forget how this book came to be. We were playing golf together, Tom and I, on the Monterey Peninsula, and I was thinking about shooting the lowest round I possibly could, but he was thinking about something else. I can still remember the scene. I was standing in the middle of the seventh fairway. I was zeroed in on my target, but before I could pull the trigger, Tom broke my concentration, and I'll never forget what he said. He asked me the question, what are the questions, in your view, that every promise keeper must be equipped to answer? Well, I was one under par at the time, but my mind never returned to golf because Tom's vision was truly intoxicating. It was simple, and yet it was profound, and I instinctively knew that God was at work. I can still vividly remember how Tom summed up the vision that day. He said, "It's not as important to have all the answers as it is to be able to identify the right questions." Well, my experience in hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast has convinced me that while it is critical to identify the right questions, it's also crucial to ask the right questions in the right sequence. For example, there's little sense in asking questions regarding biblical ethics prior to answering the question of biblical authority. Likewise, the question, what would Jesus do, is trumped by the question, who is Jesus? Well, Tom's vision is truly a big idea. Equipping promise keepers to ask the right questions can ultimately determine not only the destinies of their children and their wives, but also the direction of civilization in the world. Let me give you one example. The right question with respect to the abortion debate should have been, what is life and when does life begin? Instead, the question of choice was deemed preeminent. As a result, society is headed into a bioethical holocaust of mythic proportions. Again, the only way to advance in the right direction is to ask the right question and to ask those right questions in the right sequence. Well, going back to the day that I spent on the Monterey Peninsula playing golf with Tom, I couldn't help but draw an ironic comparison between his vision that day and the way he played golf. Because no matter how far Tom hit his drive was always headed in the wrong direction. And the results, I must say, were often catastrophic. In the things that mattered most, however, Tom was headed straight for the target. Indeed, by the time we reached the clubhouse, we had settled on seven significant questions that every promise keeper must be equipped to ask and to answer. And that night, before my head hit the pillow, I'd organized them around the acronym PROMISE. Let me give you just a short overview before we go to Tom. The P in the acronym PROMISE stands for Privileged Planet. We're dealing with the great worldview issues here, and this is the greatest of those issues. How one views their origins will ultimately determine how they live their life. If you believe you're a function of random chance, you're going to live life by a different standard than if you know you're created in the image of God and accountable to Him. The second of those great worldview issues is the issue of resurrection. This is the capstone in the arch of Christianity. It's a central pillar on which all of Christianity either rises or falls. Did Christ rise from the dead? If He did, Paul says, we live by an entirely different standard. If He did not, according to the Apostle Paul, we are pitiful. And so we have to be able to demonstrate that the resurrection is not mere blind faith, but faith rooted in a refutable fact. The last of these great worldview issues involves the issue of the origin of the Bible. That's the O in the acronym PROMISE. And the origin of the Bible is critical because if the Bible is divine in origin, it makes all the difference in the world. If it's merely human in origin, people can say, who says what the Bible says is actually correct? If God spoke these words, then it makes the Bible stand at a completely different level than all other holy books. Well, once we get past these worldview issues, we get to issues that Tom Fortson can directly address. Let me give you just a quick overview before Tom gets into more specifics in regard to the second series of questions. But they involve men as relational beings. The first question in the series involves the foundational building block of society. We're talking about here the family. What makes men so strategic to the proper ordering of a society? Look, without recognizing God-ordained responsibilities as men to lead our families, promise keepers, men are ultimately going to miss the broader purposes of God in the culture at large. The second in these relational questions is the issue of isolationism, which is a significant obstacle for men in fulfilling their God-ordained responsibilities. So we have to ask this pressing question: how does the Promise Keepers movement address the danger of isolationism? This isolationism and lack of accountability is not only dangerous to our spiritual well-being, it's damaging to our society. So addressing this question head-on, as we'll do in just a few moments, will ultimately serve as an antidote to pandemics ranging from infidelity to pornography. And then there's one other in these relational questions, and that involves significance, the S in the acronym PROMISE. How can I progress from survival to significance? Look, most of us trudge through life merely seeking to get from one day to the other, merely seeking to survive. But Jesus came to give us an unsurpassed quality of life. The words of the Master, "I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly." God's given every person time, talent, and treasure to be used for His glory and for the extension of His kingdom. There's no greater enterprise and there's no greater calling. One other question we address, this is the seventh and the final, it's the E in the acronym PROMISE, and it has to do with eternal perspective. Why is it so crucial for all of us to develop an eternal perspective? Paul answered that question perhaps better than anyone when he used the analogy of athletics to say, "Don't you know that in a race, runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training, but they do it to get a crown that will not last. We do it to get a crown that will last forever." Thus, says Paul, "I don't run like a man running aimlessly. I don't fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body. I make it my slave so that after I've preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize." Well, in the end, equipping a generation of men to ask the right questions and to ask them the right sequence, they will become a catalyst for changing the very course of civilization. That's why in the beginning I called this idea a very big idea. But change begins at home. To paraphrase the words of John F. Kennedy, we shouldn't ask what our family can do for us, but we should ask what we can do for our family. And if we do that, God will use us to both strengthen the family of God and bring salvation to the family of men.